You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson. Trade it, sell it, they want it. Go online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com, click on the Sell to Us tab, and get a serious cash offer for your bike. Worth Harley Davidson, I-29 just south of the airport, or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Hey, Andy, on Willie, what kind of conversations have you had with him? And can you kind of just explain how you guys arrived at the decision that he'll still play Sunday?
Well, I decided he'd play, and I'm not going to get into the conversations. So I'm going to do that. I decided that after just hearing some of the information there.
Do you feel like you guys are still getting slept on as far as you're not getting the respect you deserve?
Man, listen, we're in the playoffs. I don't care about what nobody says about this defense. You know what I mean? The most important thing right now is the guys in this room believing in each other, believing in one another, that we can go out and we can play our best ball and put ourselves in the best position. But what anybody else got to say about us doesn't matter.
And now, thinking, can we just play this damn game already? Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Welcome to the Ice World Hoth here today as the freeze continues. Good news is, going to warm up for the game. Yes, it will finally play it. Still more than 48 hours away, though. Does it seem like it could possibly be still 48 hours away?
It does. It's the 7:20 or the 7:15 or whatever the start was on last Sunday night was like the worst.
I don't mind it once we get to day of game.
Really? That to me is where it really seems to drag is the day.
Nah, that doesn't. I'm like, okay, it's here today. I always feel like I got crap to do. So if they could play that thing at 1 a.m., I'd be fine. I'll keep getting things done. I got kids, man. There's always a list of things that need to get done. So I don't mind the late start once we get to day of game. But it's just like, oh, good Lord, man, when is this thing going to get here? I do have that thing going as well. Well, we got a lot coming your way. We're going to get the Bills perspective from our man Matt Perino from the Syracuse Post-Standard. He's the Bills beat writer for the Post-Standard. Danny Unleashed in the 3 o'clock hour, 2-minute drill at 4. Adam Teicher from the ESPN will be with us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Kevin Harlan wrapping things up in the 5 o'clock hour. So a lot to get to today here in the program. Thought we'd start with this. We all took the Chiefs minus the points, so we all think they're going to win. A couple things stuck out of me. What kind of pace of game? What do we think the game is going to look like when it's all said and done? And what are the keys to this game? And I think one of the keys to the game is going to be for the Chiefs I thought Anthony Hitchens laid it out pretty well today when he said, you know, we look back on it. I think this gives you a glimpse into their mindset. I think the Chiefs are going to give up a lot of rushing yards. I think they said, look, I know that he grounds and pounds and they're running with Singletary now, but what killed us were the big pass plays, and that's not happening. And I think there is a sense of confidence that offensively we're done turning the ball over, so that's not going to happen. We're not going to be digging that kind of hole. We got to just keep them in front of us. And if they give up, you know, I think their feeling is we give up a 3 on every possession. You know, the best case scenario is they get to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the Bills, best case scenario for the Bills is they get 10 possessions and they get to 30 points off 10 field goals, right? Worst case scenario is you get, what, about 7 possessions? Legitimate ones that you can do something with.
Yeah, not end of half stuff.
And you get to 21 points. And I think the Chiefs' feeling is we're going to score. We have the offense figured out, and we're going to score because, you know, when Hitchens brought up the point about it was the explosive pass plays, you know, everyone's talking about Josh Allen. By the way, can you think of a way to ask how do you stop Josh Allen running? How do you tackle Josh Allen running? How do you see Josh Allen running? When Josh Allen runs, do you tackle him? Like, the line of questioning, I think there was one question asked 17 different ways about tackling Josh Allen, right? Like, mm-hmm. amazing to me. I think a couple of things are going to happen in this game. One, I think you're going to see the Chiefs in nickel and dime, and they're going to say, go for it. Go ahead and run. And they're going to give them to the 20. I think if that is the mindset that they're going to play with, that they're going to be in nickel and dime a lot, and they're saying, Josh Allen's not that good, because he really didn't complete that many passes against him last time.
No.
He just completed every big one.
Yep.
And I think they're going, you know what? This really was a perfect storm for them. And that perfect storm is not going to come to port again. Right? We didn't have a bad strategy. It just was they had a day. We gave it to him four times. They didn't give it away. And he was able to drop in the passes he needed to drop in. And that's not going to happen again. And so I expect the Bills to be able to run. I expect the Chiefs to hunker down when it gets close. I mean, I'm not saying that the Chiefs are just going to give them 9 yards every time. When they see the ball handed off, hats are going to fly to the ball. They're going to try to make plays. They'll get some stops for no yardage, short yardage, negative plays. It'll happen. But I think the Bills are going to have a decent time of it. So I think the key is going to be that they're looking at it saying, we can move the ball on anyone again. They're back in that mindset. We just can't turn it over. And that's going to be the key, because I think the Bills may dominate the clock. And I think that the Chiefs will, you know, need to be efficient and not turn the ball over. I think this is a day that for the offense to win it. And I think the defense knows its role. Listen, we have the ultimate weapon in Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be on. It is money time. There's a reason why he's already halfway, basically, to Aaron Rodgers' touchdown total in the postseason. Aaron Rodgers has the second most passing touchdowns in NFL history, tied for it with 45. And Patrick Mahomes has 22 already. So I think they're looking at it going, we are not going to get dragged into this thing. And I think they're going to get away from running. I heard Jason Anderson talking, you know, he was going through play-by-play earlier this week about how that first game went down. And he's like, listen, the complete for 8, run for 1, run for negative 2. Right? Throw it again. On mm-hmm. second down. Like they had more, you know, they were more productive in the passing game than even they probably realized in the moment that day, just because like, oh, well, we only need 2 yards. Let's pick up the first down and then we'll get back to throwing the ball again. And instead, you know, kind of, I think what we've talked about many times, being a slave to what you did last time, which I think Andy Reid's as good as anybody at not just trying to replicate a game you won already, knowing that they're going to make adjustments. I think Andy Reid adjusts as well. But I think there was a little bit of like, listen, we pounded the rock on these guys. We'll pound the rock here. We want to do a little bit of that, but we also have these things that we think are going to work in the passing game as well. And the running part didn't work so good.
No.
And I don't think that'll be a problem. I think Mahomes is moving. I think they've figured out how the offensive line plays, who they got to chip, where they got to chip, how they got to help. And I think they got backs that can catch the ball, particularly Jerick McKinnon. And I think the football is going in the air. And I think the Chiefs are going to throw it. And I think they want to play from in front. They'll give up some time of possession. They're willing to give up yards on the ground. They're going to count on just the yin and yang of things, that they're going to get some takeaways. And I think they feel like that if they get in front, then this Buffalo Bills team looks real different. And I think they're right. And let me point something out. Josh Allen, what is the likelihood that Josh Allen is going to play? Now, he hasn't had a lot of, you know, postseason games, but what is the likelihood that Josh Allen is going to put together a monster day, do you think, in the postseason? Do you know what he's done in the postseason for passer ratings? He had a marvelous game last time out. Marvelous mm-hmm. game, mm-hmm. you know. He dealt on the New England Patriots, a 157.6, almost a perfect passer rating, 308, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. And what I'm going to read you is not a guy who's terrible, but here's every other playoff game he's played going backwards. Completed against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. He completed 58% of his passes, 287, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. Before that, in beating the Ravens 17-3, he completed 62% for 206 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. Game before that, where they traded scores with the Indianapolis Colts and Phillip Rivers, he was 75%. 324, 2-0. Game before that, 52%, 264, 0-0. Give you all of his passer ratings. Again, I like the way Eric Eager puts it. We don't love the stat, but we all know the grades. Mm, we all know right. the scale well. I think that's a great way to put it. Here are his career passer ratings. 69.5, in his first game in 2019 that they lost to the Texans. 121 last year, 121.6, 86.1, 80.8, and then last week's 157.6. There is no evidence of any kind that says that he will be any more than, a roughly 85 passer rating. He's more experienced, he's better. Okay, 100. Like, in all likelihood, if you're to plan the offensive game plan, or if you're to plan the defensive game planning, let's do that first, and you're Steve Spagnuolo, your plan is that, well, we're not going to sit here and quake in our boots like the guy's going to hang 155 again, because that's not what he does.
Mm-mm.
Historically, he's, you know, like most quarterbacks, not as good in the postseason as he is in the regular season. He's had two games where he really had a day. Last year, that was against the Colts. The defense carried the day against the Ravens in a 17-3 win, and then he certainly wasn't good enough against the Chiefs in a 38-24 loss in Kansas City. I don't think there's any way Josh Allen plays at that level. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and this is the, you know, emergence of Josh Allen, but, you know, I get it. Well, he's more experienced. You know, he was a young quarterback. Okay, but, you know, it's 4 years in. Like, do we really think that he's going to suddenly start having playoffs where it's a 125, 135, 145 passer ratings? Because I don't. I think you're going to have to always have a good team around him. I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's winning boat race after boat race. And so I expect the Chiefs to say, we're gonna attack him. He's very good. If he runs for it, great. Let's make sure we put a hit on the man. Okay? If he's going to stay up and not go into a slide, let's put a hit on the guy. When we get our backs against the goal line, we're coming at him. Because I do think when you pressure him, he'll make some dumb throws. He'll definitely take some big sacks. Right? He will take some 20-yard lost sacks. I mean, he shot the team in the foot in that Texans game at the end of the 19 season. He killed them by taking some of the sacks that he took in that game. And so I think that's going to be the game plan. Devin Singletary, we're not going to die by 1,000 cuts from Devin Singletary. We're not going to die by 1,000 cuts of Josh Allen running it. We'll rally to the ball. Let's tackle well. Let's get multiple people there. Let's not panic if we have to stay out on the field and convert. Let's just not give up the big ones. And we will outscore this team. That's what I expect to happen in this game. Anybody got a different view?
No, you know, I initially thought, you know, because you look at the numbers and the running that you, everyone kind of jumps on. Well, first I got to stop the run. But I think your point about the Bills just kind of not letting them run, but not over focusing on the run to the point where you get killed in the passing game is also supported by the first game these two teams played a year ago when the Chiefs went to Buffalo. The Bills essentially said, we don't care if you run for 400 yards. You're not going to hit us with big passes down the field. And they lost the game, but they were in a game in which their offense was dreadful. So I can see that working in a situation, the reverse. Because I don't think the Chiefs' offense is going to be dreadful. And if you can keep them kind of minimized, I think your offense can take over. Make the Bills do what teams forced the Chiefs to do earlier this year, in the words of Eric Eager, crossed the street several times. And at some point, Josh Allen's going to throw one to L'Jarius Sneed or Tyrann Mathieu or Juan Thornhill and get them in trouble. The longer you make the Bills move the ball downfield, the more likely you are to force them into a mistake. But I think focusing too much on the run, even though they've kind of changed the way they covered the deep ball now, we don't expect to see Tyrann Mathieu throwing his hands up at Daniel Sorensen twice this Sunday. I think that's a much easier path for them. And also, if you try to stop the run too much and you focus too much on the backs, that's where Josh Allen can leak out and kill you in the run anyway. So I tend to agree with your approach on offense. Don't just let them run for 10 yards a pop, as you said. When there's a run play, play your ass off. But don't overcommit to it, because I think he can kill you downfield. And I do think the Chiefs are going to come out and not, I wouldn't say be risk averse. I don't think they're going to come out and start flinging the ball downfield. But I do think they're going to be aggressive. And even if there's an early mistake, I still think they realize that the way to beat this team is going to be to make big plays in the passing game. They're going to be almost completely healthy in that regard. And I think they've kind of figured out what the last 4 or 5 weeks have shown us is that there really isn't. You know, the riddle has, for the most part, been solved on the part of the Chiefs. And just p- putting the lid on the defense, on the Chiefs' offense with your deep coverage just isn't going to work. I think they that was a situation that they had not figured out when they played in Week 5. And they were in the midst of just doing everything wrong, and seemingly everything thrown at them resulted in problems. I think they realized their offense, as it fits right now, is going to work very well against the, what is statistically a number one Bills defense, but I think we all kind of agree has been somewhat inflated by their strength of schedule. And I think that probably adds up to about a 10 to 13 point victory for the Chiefs.
The other thing I wanted to point out, where did the Chiefs finish in points allowed?
Let me see. I think they finished in
eight,
the top.
Right?
Something like that. Let me make sure.
I think it's eight. And wasn't that the stat you had that Tom Brady had never won a Super Bowl? Every Super Bowl he won, better way to put that, every Super Bowl he won, his defense ranked eighth or better in points allowed.
Yes, eighth or better. Eighth was the worst one he had.
And the Chiefs in points allowed this year are?
Are eight.
Eight. You got a guy that's Brady plus, in my opinion, in any one game. Brady's greatness is the fact that he's game in, game out, so fantastic. But I think Mahomes is the closest thing to it, even more physical skills, still learning the game. But I think that, you know, the formula is starting to look pretty good. Formula is starting to look pretty good. It's not to say that they're definitely going to win. I love the way Eager puts it. It's Eric Eager Day here. We have to stop getting a lot of pub. I love the way he puts it, is the fact that you don't always win your Super Bowl. Like this year's, whose Super Bowl is it this year, right? We talked about last year was the Chiefs Super Bowl, the Bucks stole it. Year before that was the Ravens Super Bowl, the Chiefs stole it. Year before that was the Chiefs Super Bowl, the Patriots stole it, right? If you're good enough and you can be in it, you can steal it. This year's Super Bowl is the Packers, is it not?
Yes, I think that if you're going to pick one team, I think that's the team you'd pick.
They're the team that's been, other than since week one when they got throttled by New Orleans.
Yeah. They've lost one game since week one that they were trying to win.
And so maybe it's two.
There is two. I'm sorry.
Two losses.
They did lose one in there somewhere.
Yeah, two losses. Actually, you might be one because one of those losses is to the Chiefs without
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has lost one game since week one that he's played in.
Yeah, it's the Packers Super Bowl. They're the one that's supposed to win it. You still got to go out there and do it. Yep. And I don't know that they'd be favored against the Chiefs if that ends up being the Super Bowl that we get. But I now feel very comfortable that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to play well tomorrow. The Bills are going to have to play a great game. They're going to have to be great on both sides of the ball, and I don't know if they can do that. 913-83-810-810, the phone number. We'll take a break. We're going to talk some Bills football. We'll get the perspective of the man who is on the beat, Matt Perino from the Syracuse Post-Standard, Bills beat writer, joins us next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
If you disappear forever, it wouldn't make any difference.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's finally Friday, Red Friday, as we get ready for the Chiefs and Bills. Sunday night, still more than 48 hours. Till this titanic clash, what some people are calling the AFC Championship game, other people are calling the Super Bowl, meaning that this is at least the two best teams in the AFC, if not the two best teams in the NFL. We turn our attention to Matt Perino from the Syracuse Post-Standard. He handles the Buffalo Bills beat for the Post-Standard. He's brought to you by our friends at Culligan. My buddy Bob at Culligan is the man. Nobody more experienced. Nobody does a better job of getting you the best water ever for your family. I know Bob did our water system here. We have the Bluetooth button. You press it. It changes the water over to the bottled water quality water. Got the tank underneath the sink. It means we didn't have to cut any holes in the sink. Didn't have to cut any holes in our countertop. Didn't have to get a new faucet. Nothing. It's right there. Just flips it over. Easiest thing ever. My family drinks bottled water, quality water, every single time they fill up their glass. And remember, right now you can receive up to $300 off a new water treatment solution. Just go to CulliganKansasCity.com/Bob. Matt Perino, my friend, how are you, sir?
I am great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it. And let's start with this. Where is the confidence level with Bills fans? Do they think that this game is going to go their way finally in the postseason after the big win they had in the regular season? Or is there a lot of trepidation about this matchup?
I sense a lot of confidence. And to put it in perspective, I guess just think about it like this. Because I've heard some of the national conversation about, oh, man, how can Bills fans be confident after the – you know, the history that they've had, even dating back all the way to the Super Bowl. But if you think about it, like, they exercised some serious demons last week. I mean, going into that game, I kind of talked about it on my show all week. I really thought the Patriots were outmatched in every area. The only area I probably thought they had a chance was maybe Bill Belichick in one last, a hurrah, you know, out-coaching Sean McDermott. But even that, I wasn't super confident in. And they go out and they have the most perfect offensive game in the history of football. And, you know, when you do that against that team that has done so many heartbreaking things to this city and franchise over the years, I just feel like you kind of reach a high, and they're riding that high. But I don't think anybody for a moment in the media, you know, in the team, the coaching staff, the fan base is kidding themselves, you know, to when it comes to the Chiefs and what the Bills are up against this weekend.
You mentioned how big that game was against the Patriots. I know some of the Bills players were saying end of an era and stuff like that. It was clearly an emotional game. Any chance that there's a post-Patriot letdown, that they fired all the ammo on that one and they come flat in this one?
I mean, that's certainly something that I guess would be a concern. The reason why I don't think it happens is a couple things. First of all, no matter what has happened, what roster he's had, what stage of Josh Allen's career it's been, Sean McDermott has always gotten his guys to get up for big games. I mean, it's kind of been one of his trademarks. That's number one. They're so healthy. Mario Addison was the only guy in their injury report all week. He's got a shoulder injury from last week. He was limited in the first 2 days. He was full today. So he seems to be all systems go. And even if he couldn't go, you know, it would be a loss. I mean, he led the team in sacks and everything like that, but they got some other players that I think would be able to fill in. They're just so healthy, and most importantly, where you need to be healthy going against the Chiefs, and that's on offense, because you're probably going to have to score a lot of points. This is the number one pass defense in the league with the Bills, but even with that group going in, there's no Tre'Davious White. We saw what they did to this defense last year with Tre'Davious White, so you have to anticipate that you're going to see Patrick Mahomes' best game, this Chiefs offense's best game. And I think they're preparing for that.
What has the loss of White meant for this team?
You know, it was really emotional around the time. It was right at Thanksgiving. You know, I actually did a pretty decently long story with Levi Wallace, who basically assumed the cornerback one position. And he was like, listen, for a couple of days, like, it really shook me up. It shook us up. I mean, that's your leader, you know, all-pro cornerback, big extension, a guy that they just lean on in the room. He brings kind of that levity, that, you know, comedic part of things. There's guys that lead in different ways, and I feel like they lean on him in that way. And also, you know, he's always had the top assignment, no matter who they go up against, whether it's Tyreek Hill or Mike Evans or, you know, you name it, big-time players, he's usually guarding them. So it put them into a different position. Now, the good news for the Bills is that the guy that's replacing him, Dane Jackson, where he's the strongest, is where you need to be the strongest against this Kansas City Chiefs team, and that's in tackling. He's only got 3 missed tackles this entire season, playing almost 3 times as many snaps as he did a year ago, and that's what they really like about him. There might be some coverage issues, and he might give up some big plays, but he tends to be game in those big tackling situations, those opportunities to make plays. He's even caused a couple fumbles over the course of his career. It's not Tre'Davious White, and they're surely going to miss him, but they have a lot of playmakers that do that.
The Bills don't have to apologize. I mean, I believe in the statement, you don't apologize for a win in the NFL, but their schedule was 30th in the league when it comes to strength of schedule. In other words, third easiest schedule in the league. Are some of the numbers a little bloated because of the caliber of opponents that they've played?
I mean, they've had a couple weird games. Like, the Colts game kind of sticks out, and, you know, the Colts were up and down, and that was kind of an advantageous matchup. They were missing the Bills were missing a couple defensive players. But, yeah, to your point, you know, they've lost some games against good teams. But they've also been kind of fluky losses at times, too. I mean, you go back to that Tennessee Titans game. I thought the Bills pretty much outplayed them for 4 quarters. And if Josh Allen doesn't slip there down the stretch, maybe their defense makes one more play and they win that game. And things are, you know, a little bit different. Maybe they're the one seed because they would have finished with, you know, tied with the same record as KC. But the Jaguars lost was really puzzling. But, you know, I think what it's gotten them to, you know, all of this up and down throughout the season, is it's gotten them to really understand who they are, and Brian Daboll to really have a good handle on how to deploy just a myriad of weapons that he has in this offense. And, you know, they're running the ball now. They've landed on a consistent five offensive line. An undrafted guy they traded for last year from Philadelphia, Ryan Bates, has been a godsend. He's really solidified things on the interior. You remember last year, it was Ike Butker and John Feliciano playing at those guard spots. Well, now it's Darrell Williams, who got some all-pro buzz last year at right tackle. They moved him inside, and now Ryan Bates is at that left guard spot. And Mitch Morse and Deion Dawkins are playing the best football that they've played together in the 3 years they've been together. And then they got the rookie Spencer Brown at right tackle. So, you know, they're a multiple balanced offense all of a sudden, which has led to 22 touchdowns in their last 30 trips into the red zone. So they're a good, balanced team everywhere. This is going to be, a real fun game to watch.
Yeah, I I'll reiterate just to underscore where I'm coming from on this. I'm not being accusatory. You never apologize for a win in the NFL. How much of a discussion, though, is going around that there was no Chris Jones in that game, there was no Charvarius Ward in that game, Melvin Ingram hadn't been acquired to allow Chris Jones to go back to D-tackle, where he's really taken off and the defense has taken off, and they were still running Dan Sorensen out there for 100% of the plays. Now Juan Thornhill's taken over there. They're playing their two young linebackers, second-round picks, and Nick Bolton and Willie Gay. What's the view of how much better the Chiefs are? I think the Bills are better, and you mentioned the Singletary part, and I think that's a huge part. I think the Bills are a better team now, certainly on the offensive side of the ball, than they were then. But I definitely think the Chiefs are a much better team on the defensive side of the ball. Is that getting any run around Buffalo? Are the Bills acknowledging that in any of the media sessions they've had?
Oh, without a doubt, Chris Jones has been – he's come up in almost every media session. The respect that the Bills have for that guy after what he did to them in the AFC title game, you know, can't really be overstated. And also, you can't really overstate how much the Chiefs missed him in that game. Even though they were kind of going through that weird period where they had him on the outside and Melvin Ingram has kind of allowed him to get back to, you know, his really bad ways that – you know, he just puts pressure on offenses with what he's able to do, and he's going to be priority number one for them when they have the ball. And so, yeah, that's going to probably alter their game plan a little bit because you're going to have to double him a lot. You're going to have to, you know, have answers for him a lot. But what the Bills do offensively now that I think could create some problems for the Chiefs in the run game is, and they didn't do this last year, and Brian Daboll admitted as much that it was wrong and that they got away from, you know, a lot of the pin and pull stuff, getting out on some of that outside zone stuff where it puts pressure on the edges to contain. And I know, you know, you got Frank Clark, you got Melvin Ingram, you got two guys that you could trust in that situation. But the Bills have been so good. They have so many athletic offensive linemen. And that was one of the issues last year. They kind of, you know, expected them to kind of push that defensive front for Kansas City up the middle and do a lot of inside the tackle stuff, and it just didn't work. And so they got to get out in space. Mitch Morse he's so good getting downhill when he's able to run out in space. They use Isaiah McKenzie now in the backfield. It's something we saw in training camp that looks super dangerous. Now they're utilizing him there. But there's no doubt about it, to your point. There's a lot of respect for what the Chiefs have on the defensive side of the ball. And Sean McDermott, and you want to talk about a guy that has ultimate respect for somebody, the way he talks about Steve Spagnuolo. They know what they got to play another really elite game to have a chance to win this one.
We're talking right now with Matt Perino from the Syracuse Post-Standard about the Chiefs and Bills and what's coming this weekend. All right, so what are you feeling? What's your prediction on the game? Like, how, you know, score, pace of the game, what type of game? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, so one guy that I'm looking for in this game, he's kind of lulled everybody to sleep, and that's Cole Beasley. He just has not been a huge part of the offense the last, second half of the season. Since week 9, he hasn't had over 10 targets in a game except for one, and that was against Tampa Bay. Isaiah McKenzie, like I mentioned, he's come on a little bit. But, you know, I'm wondering how much the Chiefs want to pressure Josh Allen. You know, against the blitz, you know, there's some numbers that suggest it could be advantageous for you. But against pressure in general, he's just so good. So if they decide to kind of dial things back and force the Bills to kind of dink and dunk down the field, I think this could be a huge Cole Beasley game. I think the Bills, you know, have some players that, you know, Greg Rousseau had a good game the first time around against the Chiefs. That defensive line, I'm looking at them for being able to kind of apply some pressure and do some similar things that they did the first time around. But again, with these guys, I mean, Jerick McKinnon now, too, playing the way that he is. I think it's going to be a high, fast-paced, high-scoring game. My pick is the Bills 38-35. To be honest with you, you could talk me into the other way around, the same score. I think it's going to be about the fourth quarter. I mean, Josh Allen's been really good in the fourth quarter this season, but Patrick Mahomes has been doing that in the fourth quarter in playoff games and Super Bowls for a long time. So it's going to be fun to watch these two guys play, and I honestly hope that this is the first one we see in the playoffs between these two, or the second of a bunch of times we see these two guys in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible that we're going to see a lot of them going up against each other. Matt Perino is our guest on the Syracuse Post-Standard. Handles the Bills beat for the Post-Standard. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an orthopedic or sports injury, see the experts who care for the Chiefs. Just learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Four quickies. I'll start you with this. What's your Super Bowl pick? Who beat who?
Wow, that's a good one. I'm going to go Bills over Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers has got so much talent around him, and you know that defense can do some things. And I think Tampa Bay is banged up. I'd consider it, and actually we've been talking about this on our show this week, that if the Bills were to make a Super Bowl run to beat the Patriots, the Chiefs, maybe the Titans, and then the Bucks with Tom Brady, I don't know if you could write it better than that.
Yeah, no, it'd be a pretty good script. All right, is the next Bills stadium a dome?
No. And I know that there's a lot of Bills fans that are going to be upset about that, but you got an owner that really, he likes the blue-collar mentality of an outdoor stadium in Orchard Park, you know, snow games, the weather games. And they drafted Josh Allen to play in the elements. And it's going to be a lot more expensive, and I think sometimes people don't even realize how, you know, the Buffalo is not even a top 50 media market in the country. So there's just not enough money for it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, all right. I think that's a mistake. All right, tell me, where's Brian Daboll next year?
The New York Giants. It's setting up there to be an absolute slam dunk. Joe Shane goes there. He's got a very good, close relationship with Brian Daboll. They're going to ask him to come in there probably and give Daniel Jones a season to figure out what's there. And, you know, even if they don't win a lot of games, which probably they won't, who knows? Maybe they'll do something similar to what Sean McDermott did here and, you know, sneak into the playoffs or something crazy like that. Who knows in that NFC East? But, you know, they'll get a quarterback eventually and then ask Dable to kind of build it from there. I can't see them going in another direction.
Okay, interesting. Finally, is this Jim Boeheim's last year?
Jim Boeheim, it's got to be. As a matter of fact, I got a real good buddy of mine. I don't pay super close attention to Syracuse hoops. It's all Bills all the time, but I got a buddy that's a huge fan, and I get some colorful language in my text messages about Jim Boeheim, what's going on with Syracuse. There's a lot of unrest in that fan base right now, so probably it's time to move on.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's his, you know, coach's boys last year, and then off into the sunset. We'll see if that ends up happening, though. Matt Perino, great stuff, buddy. We really appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on down the road.
Sounds good. Take care, guys. Have a great week.
All right, you bet. Matt Perino from the Syracuse Post-Standard, Bills beat writer, 38-35 Bills. Likes the shootout. Lots of points. We'll come back and talk about a couple of the things he mentioned there. Next, got a little time to take your phone calls at 913-310-810. The phone number is 913-310-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter. It's at SorenPetro, SorenPetro.
The program with Soren Petro.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Matt Perino's picking the Buffalo Bills, Curtis. I know. Apparently, Jed, you know, telling me that, you know, you wanted to pummel the man. Because
I don't think that's
he's picking the Bills.
I don't think it's going to be a field goal game.
I don't either.
I think one of these two teams, I think they're both going to come in with an aggressive approach and try to win. Not feel it out. I think they're going to come in there and try to do what they do right off the bat. I think one of these two teams is going to not get their way. I think it's going to be a 10 point or more game one direction or the other. I think it's more likely to be the Chiefs because they have a higher ceiling and a higher floor in particular. But I don't see a 3 point game.
I don't either. I think there are three outcomes. One, the Bills have a day and the Chiefs don't, and the Bills win, and they win by double digits. And I think we saw that. That's what happened in the first game. Two, Chiefs have a day and the Bills don't, and the Chiefs win by double digits. That's what we saw twice last year, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think there's what we haven't seen yet where they both have a day or they both don't have a day, right? Either a turnover fest both directions or no turnovers. And I think in that scenario that I believe would bring the game right down to the very end, I don't see how Buffalo wins it. I don't see how Josh Allen, I don't see how Patrick Mahomes, you know, he is good enough. Andy Reid's good enough on calling the plays, and Mahomes is good enough to make sure that they leave not enough time. And I don't think Josh Allen is going to go 38, you know, go the length of the field in 38 seconds and get it done. I think the question becomes, you know, is there a moment where Andy Reid has to decide whether or not he's going for it on fourth and two or he's going to take a field goal and give Buffalo time? And what do you think he would do this time? If he has, okay, fourth and two, it's a gimme for Harrison Butker, you know, put it at whatever you want, 39 yards, 37 yards, whatever, it's glorified extra point. Would he take the field goal or and he's going to be leaving, you know, let's say it's a 2:05. Mm-hmm. He's going to be leaving Josh Allen, the 2 minute warning and a couple of timeouts. Does he go field goal or does he go for the first down and finish it?
Score before the field goal was, I may have missed that.
Didn't give it to you, but let's put the Chiefs down one. Let's make it as difficult as possible. They're down one. So he doesn't even have the, well, we're not losing yet. Like, it'll put him in harm's way if he doesn't convert it, then they're in trouble. He's putting it all in the game. Would he go for it? We saw him last year go for it on fourth down against the Browns. And was it against the Raiders in the regular season? What was it? There was another game where he went for it on fourth down to close it out, and he did it with Chad Henne on the fourth down, on the fourth and one. And I think on both plays, they were both those little quick outs to Tyreek Hill, right?
Yes. I remember the Tyreek Hill because I remember thinking that's the Chad Henne play. And I can't remember what that game that was recently, but they did convert one of those. May have been against Denver, but I remember exactly the play you're talking about.
Yeah, but I was thinking they maybe even did that twice. But I think that's the scenario where you say, okay, I'm not sure if what he's going to do. I'd like to think he goes for it and tries to ice the game and not put his defense back out there. I think if you're in a 16-13 game, he kicks the field goal. Yeah. Or if you're in a – I gave the Chiefs trailing by one. So
17-16.
They're down 17-16, and his defense has been playing well. I think he kicks the field goal. If you're in a shootout, I think he goes for it. I think he's learned that lesson from what happened to the Bengals.
I agree.
That's
my
assumption. Let's get Clinton in here. You're in the program, Clinton. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I just had a comment about the game. I look at it as, you know, we know this team so well, so how would we approach it if we were the opposing team? And I would think the Bills kind of just yuck it up. You know, it's a time of possession game to me where, you know, they really try to force the ball running. I think play action, tight end. I think it's really about getting this team out of rhythm and frustrating them because we're good at, like, starting off the game with scoring a touchdown on our first drive and then having a quarter and a half, two quarters of kind of mediocre football, and then we eventually, you know, have been able to burst it out and get it at the end these last 7-8 games. But I think their strategy wouldn't be to have a game plan of really, you know, deep attacks. Try to do 12-14 play drives to really frustrate the team, maybe get a victory on the road. I think the being at home, you know, messing up the communication, you know, maybe some false starts, that really is an advantage for us. If they can get the crowd out of it, the momentum starts to shift in my mind.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is going to want to run the ball. I'm with you. I think they do fear Patrick Mahomes like everybody else. And thanks for the call, Clinton. I think the Chiefs are prepared to let him. You know, I think the biggest thing is going to be to just take care of the football on offense.
Yeah.
If they play a clean offensive game, I think the Chiefs win.
One more thing from Perino. If Cole Beasley plays a major role in that game, I think the Bills lose by 17.
Yeah.
He goes, it could be the Cole Beasley game. I'm like, sign me up for that. Because that ain't beating Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I'm good with
if it's the Stephon Diggs game, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, then that's the one you sweat. I agree. No, I think it's going to be a fun game, but I just don't think Josh Allen can put together a high caliber game. If Patrick Mahomes plays at a high level, then I don't think Josh Allen can play the way he played last week, 2 weeks in a row. By the way, do you know that the Bills come to Kansas City again next year?
Wow. This is like the Chiefs going to Miami, seemingly, 6 or 7 years in a row.
Yeah.
That's strange.
It's interesting. Fun little quirk. We'll see what Danny Klinkscale thinks. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing, is coming up next.
The first end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, what is the only current NFL franchise that has never lost a postseason game at home? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.